Hello, dear girls. This is Simon talking here in episode 171. This has got to be a good episode because I remember 100 episodes ago, well, more or less. Now there are all these TSY episodes that have to be added up to come to the eventual number. But 100 episodes ago was also a outstanding piece that set the measure units for my art, because I was reading from a work of prose that I had composed. So, excuse me, why am I starting so slowly here? Because I'm not even sure if this is allowed or if this is a step over the line, judiciary, fragwürdig, and it's not. It could be inadmissible what I'm doing here, but just got this feeling with the publication of the last episode. Of course, there were some erotic texts, but I mean. I mean, yeah, what is the, could this really be harassment then if you're just podcasting out? And I mean, nobody is forced to listen to this program. And I didn't even mention your name, your real name, Lilia, although today I thought I wanted to mention it to make it really clear, because I think this makes a huge difference when you feel or hear this, that person you feel attracted or affected, or your lover could be whispering your name into your ear, and there maybe you feel that he's really talking in earnest and this is not some kind of game. But we'll see whether we get to that. Or what I wanted to tell you, or maybe you were also expecting this, or what do women even expect that we do? I got the feeling that you too, well, you're also somehow want me to go on in my podcast, and okay, I mean, I didn't even want to, I wanted to take it slow and take a pause, but okay, I mean, yeah, I was in the office today, you two were there, but you didn't approach me. And I was just, well, working a little, but writing mostly, and not even paying so much attention to what you said there in Ukrainian. Ja, liebe Mädchen, hier bin ich wieder. Here I am again. I just had to reboot my computer, because there was this ugly noise in the background again from my microphone. I think now it's better, and I had some time not to reflect, because this last episode, or the last two, or last couple ones, again, ejected me, or threw me out of myself, and until, yeah, got me into this frontier where you don't even know whether this could already be a judicially relevant crime, or inappropriate behavior, and so I reflected about how crazy all of this was, that somehow everything fits in, and as long as that feels this way and appears that always new topics pop up to talk about here, as long as that is the case, I mean, I can go on here. And although, of course, I feel now separated from both of you, because now also Soriana, you came back from your vacation, and today I wanted to ask you how it was, but said to myself, well, let's take it slow. Maybe she also someday wants to make some first step and come to see me. And I don't wanna rush it in any way. But therefore maybe tomorrow, Zoriana, because yeah, it's Friday, and maybe I can tell you also something later, but I have to be very precise here and start with what I thought about how crazy this all is, that it fits in somehow, that I had this vacation. And there somehow I remembered, or I got back into thinking about Argentina and this one girl, or maybe just because I was bored. I mean, I was on vacation there with my grandfather, nothing to do. Maybe because of this I didn't have your clear physical impression, the impression of you two girls there in the office. And therefore my mind was wandering off, or I don't know how, but that then, just when I came back, started this phase of very hot summer heat, very extreme heat, and you both were sitting there like this with your short shorts or your short pants, trousers, and exactly in this time also, yeah, somehow in the project that I work on, there was no more work to do because of this budget situation. Don't have a budget, and therefore my boss told me I should do, well, sich selbst beschäftigen means you can find an employment for yourself, an activity to do for yourself, or learn something, make an online course. And that's what I did, but of course not so thoroughly as I should and as you would have done, at least you, Zoriana, because I know what kind of a committed worker you are, that it's also right to be this way, especially as a communist. I should aim to be more like this, because it was said at a party meeting that only this way you can gain the trust of your coworkers, by demonstrating them how committed you are to working, and that you're forbid an example and role model while they're working. And if they perceive this about you, then maybe they're also gonna listen to your communist ideas and to your politicization, trying to talk about politics. But of course this is a hard way, and that today state of mind of the working class is not that good. They're not that educated, therefore need to educate here. But there are more important things, of course, than politics, as we read in this last text. Let's dive into biology rather than this bullshit politics. This soul-destroying, annoying politics matters. My God. Ah. So, biology is something innocent, isn't it? And we gotta talk about it. Everything just fitted in then when I came back from this vacation. And yeah, somehow I had a lot of time then to write this text, like the one I read last time. But I mean, in order to write a text like this, every time you have to really gather all your forces. Because what I like to do when I sit there and just like to write something in a document called Neues von der Arbeit, everything that's new from work, I write in there, and because I write this at work, but when you simply let it pour out, ingenuously let it pour out, then it won't get out that good, and you really have to get your act together. You have to make an effort and put some tension into your body and mind. Tension. And this is what I did then, thinking of this communist writer Dietmar Dart and his work Die Salzweißen Augen. And well, somehow I thought, yeah, I should really get to the point and make this like, well, dear girls, just what am I explaining here? But just that this writer was writing there about a girl he fell in love to in his youth, and now he was writing all these letters to her. Kind of the same way I do here, recording my podcast, only that I, of course, am more extensive and never get to the point, never get to really sending off these letters, or at least you maybe listen, at least that's a great point about you, Lilia, that he said, well, what he should have done was to simply one time masturbate with the image of this girl in mind and not just think about her all this romantically. And thinking about this, I wrote this down. This was kind of a Einleitung. This was the introduction to my text that I left out then. This text about the starfish and everything, and reactionary behaviors, and how, yeah, we dive into politics. This was the introduction. I said I should also masturbate in a literature way. I should get to the point really and get tense. And this is what I did then, beginning to write this text, and I felt, yeah, this is great, and this is the point. Then, if you just write on, you're not tense, you're gonna write on, but it's not that great what you write. What I write there is just like, yeah, my thoughts, some fragments, like diary stuff, or yeah, some thoughts about ideas, novels I have, or poems. Today, of course, nowadays I write a lot of poetry, because I thought somehow it fits my chaotic character, that I can't commit to writing a longer piece, so I should write poetry. But yeah, what I mean is, this was then, yeah, this was, it needs to be said that never gets that good when you don't get to the point. And like this, yeah, like his recommendation, masturbation, it should happen at some point. You have to get material, and yeah, somehow I don't even know what I'm trying to explain, but with this text it felt this way. You gotta get there. Let's stop let's stop talking about around the den heißen Brei reden, is avoiding the real topic and just talking on. And maybe this was it. Yeah, but I should boost my energy a little and speak up here, because you girls, you demanded. I saw this, or yeah, I was so anxious and so thought, oh no, are you gonna even report me or sue me? And this is, I mean, nowadays no one knows what is acceptable to do, and I thought I really need my workplace, and especially, of course, of you, Soriana. Then I was a little more hazy, because I thought, yeah, Lilia, somehow she likes me in some way. I mean, I don't know in which way, but she wouldn't report to our supervisors. Or I mean, even if you really feel incommodated, you maybe should. You shouldn't think that you have to endure this if it feels like, yeah, if it feels like this molesting or harassment to you, then you should. But I think, yeah, at least it would be very, very bitter to lose my job, because I feel it must be this way. I don't want to be solely a podcaster or a writer, because it's better to work than to have the contact, to be in contact with the proletarian class, the working class, that's composing, putting together all important material products and gadgets day by day. Assembling those gadgets, like Guido assembling those code snippets and well, with this, I think I wanted to talk to you, Soriana, because tomorrow we maybe are there alone in the office because Lilia most of the time stays home on Fridays, and maybe you want to come to me or talk, or maybe even I can come. But my point was that today, when before I left, we were also alone there, and I felt like, oh yeah, it would be great to talk to her. Just forget about this fucking podcast. I mean, this is so neurotic, but yeah, you are also part of this neurotic game, aren't you? Because you two girls also go on like this, or could also give a sign to me or come to me. And but okay, I mean, yeah, maybe you aren't even listening, not even interested, that's also okay. And but I thought, of course, it's always nice to have this material exchange of words and looking at the other one and hearing. But of course, it's not about information exchange of information so much as in work, but it's rather about an exchange of energy, exchange of mutual also fondness, Zärtlichkeit, and maybe that you signal mutual affection, liking, fondness, right? But just that you talk a little, and it doesn't have to do with love. And this is so complicated to explain now about you, Soriana, that exactly I wanted to do this, but I then felt, oh no, let's wait, because I don't like this to be such a huge burden. I feel such a pressure now if I tell to myself while I was in the kitchen there, getting ready to leave, and putting my stuff in the dishwasher, thinking, yeah, but if I tell myself now that I should go to her and approach her, that's again this masculine standard, that's again such a goal, an aim you put up for yourself as a man, and yeah, it would feel that hard that now I have to measure myself if I can achieve this. And I felt, no, today it's, well, I take it so doesn't have to be that fast. I mean, because these episodes were quite unheard of, or were somehow also for me not so easy to digest, and therefore let it play out and let's see what your reaction is. And at least you're always greeting me, Soriana, and I thank you so much for this sign and signal that makes me feel comfortable and integrated a little, because Lilia not greeting me feels I don't know what. But and about you, Soriana, that of course you are a symbol of femininity because you're so young and beautiful, and what I said, of course, about beauty, everyone at least gets to be young once in a lifetime, and therefore it's not that unfair, like in capitalist economy, that some have so many so many fonts and cash, material, wealth. But this point is hard to express, but I mean, what I'm thinking about is why am I always in my discourses here focusing so much that it's not only about sex. It's like telling to you, oh no, I'm not that swinish as other men, and I want to tell you, no, the point is that I'm also that swinish, but just other men don't have this don't have this knowledge about that there's a greater good than this vulgar sex, that talking to girls in this material exchange, seeing this glow and this flow of energy between the characters, that this is better than sex. And maybe they just can't talk that much as I, and I didn't even talk that much to you, but at least with you, Soriana, we had some exchanges back then in winter and spring also. But before I started with this podcast, it made me then of course more nervous and reluctant. This is the point, that I don't blame other men, and I don't want to be seen as not so swinish and not so sensual and focused on sex. No, it's not that way, but I also want to have sex. But my point is that I want to unwrap something else, a desire that could be even higher. And why am I telling you then that it's not about sex? I mean, when I see you, of course I see the beauty in you. I see like a bliss, like I wrote in the show notes. There's a feeling of bliss, Seligkeit or Glück, Seligkeit. Feeling that, yeah, everything is fine. And of course it's unfair. Why is it that you are this feminine, beautiful, or I don't know what even. I mean, it's a singular characteristics about you that just make it all appear as you're this integrated person, and are a very, very dazzling being, overwhelming, unpretentious also. Oh, this is the word I wrote down here. Unpretentious is like you're not even trying to be dazzling, but you simply are. And but don't want to expand this. Don't want to be. This shouldn't be interpreted as a comment to Lilia that you are also in this way natural, Lilia, just in a different way, and I just feel in love with you. But gotta explain and digress also, and explain to length what I mean about this bliss and about this radiation of Soriana, that she's somehow the symbol of femininity. And I mean, this is my question: why is it so important here to always say it's not only about sex? I mean, what if you, Soriana, maybe you wish even I would say it's about sex, or I would think it at least, and I don't know what I think. But yeah, maybe. But what my definition here is that, of course, it is already sex, not only like sex, to look into one's eyes. It is not like sex, but it is already sex. And why? Because there you feel also recognized by the other one, acknowledged. And yeah, sex nowadays has to deal a lot with social status, and therefore it's important, and you feel acknowledged. And but I also feel acknowledged just when you look at me or talk to me or would tell me something about your trip. I just heard of it from some other colleague. I think you're supervisor came by and asked you, and I was listening, and said you were going home for a week or so. And if we were just talking, there would be produced again somehow this bliss, or like blizzard also, or somehow there's some grasp and funken. Sparks. This is a spark from your radiation. Maybe you feel I also have a radiation, but I don't know. And yeah, I mean, I can't explain anything. What did I even want to say here? No, I can explain just this, please. Somehow, this, I mean, what? Even that, of course I'd like to have sex. I mean, with anyone, that's the thought about polyamory. It would be nice, and I don't have a lot of experience, and I feel like there are all these barriers here. Barriers between the individuals that inhibit us and keep us from following our desire. But, I mean, yeah, of course, also you are attractive, but the unique thing about you is really this bliss and this, charm, something about this charm or a charisma. I think that's it, charisma. I think with that, maybe I could define it and hopefully, define this. That would be a fine day if we were talking, and somehow it's the thought of the erotic attraction and this dazzling feeling can't be pushed away completely. But I mean, at least it's a good step if you at least talking it. It felt like, also already said this, a great step in autumn, because I didn't have a lot of experience talking to girls. And felt like, yeah, this should be normal, of course, to talk to your coworker, but why does it feel so hard and so, feel so inhibited? Because you girls are so beautiful and, but. Okay, sorry, and I think with this it's enough, but not, in a way, not enough. Let me read something here in German, because in the show notes I wrote about this already, when I wrote about the bliss, and that in December somehow I had annotated this in my diary, that I just talked for 5 minutes to this new 19-year-old new Ukrainian coworker, and it's important to understand that I call you every time a European coworker, because of course I registered that in many Ukrainians. I think you too, also my roommates, that they all somehow think that Ukraine is outside of Europe, because they identify Europe and the EU as this imperialist structure. But in reality, Europe is just a geographical continent, and we should fight back to this imperialism of these Western European countries trying to gain hegemony over our thoughts and terms we use. And therefore all these Ukrainians are Europeans. Okay. And this I wrote always in the show notes. But here in my diary I just wrote about you as a Ukrainian coworker. And let me read this out, because somehow referred to this in the show notes. Tagebuch, Dezember. Wenn ich doch die Tatsache vor mir liegen habe, heute ein annehmliches 5-minütiges Gespräch mit der ukrainischen 19-Jährigen namens Suriana, die Praktikantin bei uns ist, geführt zu haben, und dass mir meine Theorien und Prosastücke oder auch Poesie, wenn man sie so nennen will, doch ich benenne den Gipfel nicht, dabei geholfen haben, was brauche ich dann noch den Ruhm der Welt? Einfach arbeiten an meinen Stücken, ja, Macron als Theaterlustspiel, aber auch in der Firma. Das proletarische Hand in Hand ist doch das Wahrhafte, das ich nicht missen wollte als vereinsamter Schreiber in meiner Stube. Nur dort im Zusammenspiel und im Gefühl, Teil eines wertvollen, produktiven Ablaufs zu sein, findet man zu sich und seine Position in der Welt. Darum werden alle Dichter verrückt. Sie schreiben für sich, schaffen allein, werken sich ab und hassen sich für die vergebliche Mühe und das kümmerliche Resultat. Die Anerkennung des potenziellen Sexpartners aber nicht im vulgären Akt, sondern im sozialen Umgang, im wahren Akt des intermenschlichen, des grenzüberschreitenden Lustspiels der Augen. Die sich bewegen will, springen, die Rede unterstützen und doch wieder zurück zu mir, auf mich in meine tiefliegenden Augenhöhlen, die so manches gesehen und geblickt haben. So war die schöne Soriana heute. Ich verliebte mich nicht in sie, muss aber zugestehen, and here we have to stop that, because it gets a little vulgar. And what I wrote here is that the candid, the sole fact of talking for 5 minutes to you made me feel like, yeah, this is all I need. And if all my writings that I was intensifying, not always those, especially the last year, always writing more and finally feeling I live up to my literature potential, if all this helped me to get into this position of being that courageous and approach you this day, start to talk, then this somehow demonstrated me that everything was fine and I'm on the right track with my writings also. And I should simply go on like this. I shouldn't strive for literature fame, but just for working like this in the firm, because it's always better to feel you're part of this net, the socialist net, part of this mass of other people working there together, and the writer would always write alone, and therefore this is not as good work as when you're producing, for example, in a software company. And yeah, this is my point, and I really believe this, that I feel I need to do this work, but right now I also need to stay at the firm, and because this is somehow the base, this is the material experience and the connection to the working class, and I don't want to be a writer who's so in the clouds, there feeling like he's floating above the mass of the people. And anyways, I mean, nowadays I don't have real work to do this, so write a lot. And maybe this also makes you two girls feel aroused, that you think I could be writing texts like the one I read last time. But no, they're not that erotic. This was a one-of-a-time kind of masturbation text. And yeah, and now let's move on. And yeah, masturbation, of course, yeah, I was writing. This is the part that I didn't want to read in my diary. But let's, I think I've expressed it all, that, that this day you were talking very vividly and your eyes were jumping back and forth and then to me again and making me feel like I'm the center of your attention. And with this, I think I've said a lot or already too much about you, Soriana, and only wanted, of course, to I don't know what I wanted to read the vulva theory, because there are great parts in it, and this of course has to do with masturbation and literary masturbation for you women especially. And wow, this but I think we can leave it for later. Sparen wir uns auf das Beste zum Schluss. Let's save this for another time. And be and I think just let me speak a little more now about last episode. I was trying to motivate women that they also should become artists or should strive for the highest possible career or the highest productive place and productive activity for themselves, so they can make a difference and make an impression on a man and say, I gotta conquer this man with my art or with my work. And the same way we men sometimes might feel so under pressure because we feel we gotta get it out there. If we don't deliver this speech, like I hear, deliver this product, then girls never gonna see who I really am, and that I could be a man for her. And you too have to get this feeling I told you women, because of course it forms your character, makes you more beautiful also, but simply gives you self-determination and liberty to live your life and not only be giving, well, reacting to the man, cheering for him. Of course you could make a compliment to me for my podcast, I would feel flattered, but we have to turn this around also. And I feel deeply that also part of the reason why I couldn't develop my literature talents in the last decade, say 10 years ago when I started into university, was also this sexual desire. This was not resolved, and this is a very huge part of one's own emotional life and drive. Sexual drive, or simply what drives you. This is what drives you. And if this feels like you're somehow stuck there, it's blocked, this channel, it can't be resolved, then this blocks you also in other areas. And I couldn't live up there really to what I felt I had in myself, this richness I could give, I could burst outside, but no, it wasn't possible back then. And now it's somehow possible because I found a way of dealing with my own sexuality. Of course it might be neurotic, and I'm kind of also sexually exploiting myself. I annotated here, and you of course are not in a material way, but yet that I exploit the perceptions of you two girls and transform them into literature, and hope you don't mind. But also my own feelings, of course, I'm exploiting myself, but I feel it's great, I want to do this, and I finally got to somehow, got to handle this sexuality, although it's neurotic, maybe in a way, because it's not centered on the actual realization, material touch, but about this audacious audio bites and bits I'm sending out. But who's to say what is the real act? The real penetration could also be these rhythms and frequencies flowing into your ears. The frequency, of course, of the tone and the amplitude and what this creates in your brain. I mean, who's to say what is this real one-of-a-kind sensual experience? That this point I want to make here is drifting off again, because it's so heavy, this point. That I only want to work for some woman. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a woman. I know it could be just a vague hope, or someone I see on the street and feel like enchanted, inspired. But it always has to be. I don't want to pick up my pencil or my keyboard to write. I didn't want to do this. I never would like to do this if there was not this picture in my mind that, yeah, somehow this person is going to see my work, or is going to love me, or at least I'm going to become a more self-confident man through this work, and maybe nobody else has to read it, but at least this work will transform me. And yeah, once you think this, then you can maybe make those steps of working on your art. But if not, if there's not this feeling, then this won't happen. And this has to do with the bourgeois society we're living in. You have to exploit yourself in order to become recognized, acknowledged in the society. Of course, you have to be brute also against yourself and your own desires and wills, and there you can maybe make a good career and succeed in your life, or succeed in this what is seen in today's world as success. And yeah, exactly. And if you're a normal person, but yeah, what is normal, then you can follow this. But I already in my youth had this impression of wanting to be a rebel, and I didn't know why or what made me so angry about this society. But before getting into Marxism, of course, I didn't have the tools, the theoretical framework to analyze it. But I was very clear in this feeling that it does make sense, and I don't even want to live, don't want to live up to my potential, and don't want to free all the talents inside me. And yeah, that comes down to this one thing. Okay, maybe if a woman looks at me, maybe then I could try to do something, but really there's no other way. I don't want to be part of this society. I don't want to be like this, to work and to get famous, because yeah, then you would get famous as a writer or podcaster, acknowledged, and then everybody would cheer for you. But this also corrupts you and makes you part of the system. Then you cheer for the system and cheer for liberalism and say, I mean, you can't escape this. And this is the brutal thing about such artists like rappers, like this one rapper I mentioned once, number 149, who died of an overdose, Mac Miller, that of course these people feel driven into also addictions, unhealthy behavior, but also just, I mean, how is this going to work, being that shiny person, that famous person that is so admired and loved by so many millions of people? It can't really work out. It's so crazy, the society. Therefore, this bourgeois society is the sickness itself, is the, well, Krankheit. Is the illness itself, and taking drugs is then only the reaction to this. And yeah, it can't be avoided somehow, that if you publish books, I think, then somehow you get dragged into the system. Yeah, but I mean, this is my point, that, well, that's, somehow I have to do it, I feel, because there are you, especially Lilia, and I know you like to read, therefore I should write something to demonstrate to you that really, yeah, I could go beyond any limit and invent new stories unheard of. But if only you'd look at me, give me one look for one book that I could write, if only this would be a fair deal for you, then I would be so committed to this work. And about you, Lilia, I can say now that in February, after your birthday, I wrote about this also in the show notes once, I've had this clear feeling have to go to see her. It can't be, we have to talk again. I have to at least tell her or ask her at least how she's doing. It doesn't matter if we talk a lot then, but simply that we have this signal and this symbol. And yeah, but always feeling inhibited and around this time also installing again Bumble on my app, because I was there at work, felt like now I should go to Talker, but I didn't want to, feeling this hemming inhibition, and therefore I downloaded Bumble and thought, let's swipe a little here, and this is a great replacement for that. But that one time I did it, I came to it because the night before I had told myself this, that it has to be this way. I can't look into the mirror. If I don't do this, it will be this way. And therefore I did it. And yeah, this is the thing, what I mentioned in the beginning about today, in the kitchen, I thought, should I go there or not to see Zoriana? But when you remember this kind of situations, it doesn't feel good to have to tell you this, that manly and masculinely, that you say this is really your hard goal for the next day and you have to achieve this, and there's no discussion, this is happening, it has to happen. And yeah, felt like back then this was good, this was enough, and after that I was totally relieved, all the tension that I felt before about this thing I had to accomplish. I somehow did it, and then great. At some point might lead to something more, but for the moment I wanted to leave it like this, and I don't know why, but yeah, I wanted to mention this because it's such a sharp contrast to today, where I feel always like I can let this drag on. Like yesterday, for example, I came to the office after publishing this number 117, and there you were again, you two girls, after you weren't, hadn't been there for one day. You, Lilia, and Zoriana, you have been away for over a week, your vacation. And I thought, I thought I noticed something about you, Lilia, wearing special jewelry, which I liked a lot. And yeah, I mean, somehow I feel like we share this isomorphy, as I wrote in a poem, somehow of the same form, and all our thoughts and feelings somehow are the same. But if you feel the same as me, isomorphy, then somehow also you're gonna feel bad, because of course in a lot of situations now, but what is really bad, it's neurotic but bad isomorphism. So this is an isomorphism between your individuality and mine. I like you so much, maybe, yeah, we can play on that. You come there to Zoriana and I want to look at you, see you. And what I was thinking then, back in December, was that, what are we gonna do? Never can plan what is this, what you could do in this beginning love relationship. But somehow it has to happen. You have to try, yeah, like with my ex-girlfriend, it was great. Although I feel now she could have been a lot greater if only I had planned a little more and thought, reflected and acted according to my plans. But then, yeah, at least it's a practical experience. It's always better than just staying on the one-sided theory. It was great with her, and this it could also be with you, just that somehow, sometimes, or anytime, feeling the sexual drive feels so, it's so sharp, and it's in the front, and it's on the top, and you feel this, this is the most important thing, and then these images come into your head, like what I was thinking. It's not an image, just a phrase, like, this phrase I kept repeating back in December was, unter der Bettdecke sich unter der Bettdecke erkunden. The bed cover, yeah. To get to know each other below the bed cover. And this phrase somehow stuck in my head back in December, and I think it's this kind of thinking that inhibits you. On one hand, you feel this closeness, this connection to this person, and it would feel so normal and genuine to connect also on a material level below the bed cover. But then this touching the other one always feels then also a little traumatic. What is he or she gonna think of me and my body? And well, what is this other body gonna be? Is this touch even gonna be that great as I imagine? Be this mystical union? And therefore it's simpler to keep it in the spiritual sphere. And yeah, I think this is kind of the problem, because it would always be nice, but now somehow I also get it, that when you feel such an isomorphism between, like I feel between you and me, Lilia, then this is such a great thing. This is something that won't happen so many times in a lifetime to you. Or maybe only once would also be great, but of course at least my ex-girlfriend, I felt also some of this isomorphy. But when you feel this, then what does it even matter to get together materially that quickly? No, you can savor it, and it doesn't matter if it goes on, this process of courtship, for half a year or for 1 year or longer. But in the end, yeah, it's gonna go that way, go down this road. And someday also under the bed cover, or well, summer now, of course, this heat, you don't need bed covers. But yeah, this was my point. And now let's see talking to you then always felt like a price also. Feels like, yeah, I don't want to be this way. That a woman is a prize for a man, but somehow it seems to be this way. When we have to get up to approach you, take these first steps. I mean, it's only about these first steps. How stupid is this really? But I mean, yeah, it's a hard task to go there, like I felt today. Not that easy. And maybe you also felt this, Lilia. I don't know if you someday told yourself something like I did and said, yeah, I have to go to see him there. And yeah, and this is a prize. Then I feel like I'm glorious, victorious, also dominating it over other men. This is a point that's getting us into the field of Eva Illus' thoughts again. We're gonna read from her later on. Hopefully we get to this. It's very crucial. And let me mention one more thing about you, your body, Lilia, that or first a general remark about those feminine legs, that somehow it's well, it has to be somehow brought up. There are all these feminist topics. I don't even know. I mean, I was in a seminar back in university in philosophy. I heard a seminar about feminism and this great work from Simone de Beauvoir, French philosopher who laid this first principles, at least in the 20th century, for this new movement of feminism with her book. And this contains many insights. But I mean, apart from this, I don't even know what the today... I mean, of course, today's mainstream feminism here in Germany, in the Western imperial states, is highly problematic and is highly an ally, accomplice of capitalism, and therefore also has to be fought. Although, of course, it brings also some emancipatory good developments, but in the grand area, we really have to be precise and say, no, this is not a true feminism. The true feminism would be materialist, Marxist, and aim to understand also these basic material principles that underlie society. Not this, like in touching, of course, this is a different question, intimate, private areas, but the materialism in work and in production, and the question whether to produce in a socialistic entity or in a capitalist frame, or in a, well, something that could be like a share owned by the shareholders, or simply the bourgeois, the capitalist, like in our little firm. Well, I got off track here. Just mentioning about feminism that, I mean, yeah, I should read more, or there are probably interesting feminists also today writing, and but what I do is more based on my general thoughts and reading experiences, and it's but why am I even mentioning this? That's the clear point, is that you don't have to know anything about theory, but just this question comes up to my mind then, why is it that women have to, or at least they feel like, maybe you also feel comfortable with this, of course, there's also the question of putting on rouge and makeup. Of course, if you feel like, yeah, putting makeup on, it's great. Like my ex-girlfriend always liked to use lipstick, and I told her, oh, right, I'd just like to see you one day without it, and wouldn't you like to? But for her, it was a habit, and it's okay. But what I mean about this shaving of the legs, that you, that's somehow seen, or somehow maybe women feel in this position that they need to be shaving their legs because this is what's expected, especially in summer now, of course, when everybody sees this. But no, I as a man can tell you that I don't expect this and don't want this, of course, although it might look then weird at first because it's somehow the normalcy for women to be seen like this without hair, but I don't like this, that for men it's somehow normal. And I also wouldn't like to shave myself because of it's somehow hurtful. Therefore, I also like to wear a beard because, yeah, I don't like to shave myself so often. And but yeah, this is this whole difference and inequality in positions. And this I just wanted to mention. And yeah, because I then saw your ankles again, Lilia, and this is giving me so much pleasure, and yeah, creating all kinds of images in my head, imaginations about putting my hands or entangling with our feet and legs, and yeah, this. Well, I don't know, maybe I should shouldn't use your real name, because this is also always erotic to have some secrets between ourselves, but you know that I really mean you, and I don't mean anyone else with this, not directing at anyone else. And when I wrote this in the show notes 2 days ago, that I love you like no man has ever loved a woman before, then yeah, I meant it. At least I mean it now, because yesterday I came into the office, was insecure about how what did I set off. What could have been, could I have been upsetting you with this? But Yeah, because of this nervousness, I think, because of this, then I was trying to push the love feeling away and saying, oh no, now I have to be a worker, an official and diligent worker. And feeling like, oh no, this, yeah, I wrote this yesterday, but I don't know, I just wrote this like this, don't know even if I can live up to this or beat true to this claim I made there that I love you so much. But now today I felt, especially when seeing your ankle, or yeah, somehow that I really, really, it really is this way, that I love you. Like, I think, yeah, I had also to foster the love feelings, to let this drag on, to stimulate myself also, and to make us both maybe even more crazy. But yeah, I feel now it's really, the limit has been reached, and it won't get that much crazier, that much more intense. It cannot even get it. We really should now try to find some outlet, some way to let this whole pressure out into internal tension. And maybe just through talking, looking at you, this would make me feel enchanted. And I think now fits in nicely a song that I wanted to play. Maybe I can go on for a little while after that, but not too long. I have to keep my forces here. Because with you girls, it's like this, what I thought also in winter, in December. Also about you, Zoriana, that you, somehow, yeah, your radiation is that dazzling, but that it's paradoxical when seeing a woman like this. Then how can you, what could you do as a man? It feels like you have to do something really big and baffling, but then this makes you, this feeling of being so overwhelmed by you then also makes you, well, limp, schlapp, and like you can't do anything, because anything you do wouldn't be enough, or wouldn't be enough simply. And wouldn't be enough, yeah. No, nothing could be enough for you, really, and therefore, yeah, what can I do? Now I feel, at least I found this outlet with this podcast, and there I could always go on. It's like a work in progress, it never ends, and therefore also adequate for both of you to counter your radiation, your worthiness, your halo, maybe, like an angel that you wear. And yeah, let me play this song. Can't find the right words right now, and I can't go on for so much longer. Let's play the song, ukulele song, and this is directed to you, of course, Lilia, that I want to lure you. and tell you also, why don't you come over here to see me? Something like this, I think, appears in this song, ukulele song.
When I stood in the park, whispered words to the dark, it would come from the heart, sweaty hands and an old guitar. I was scared of things unknown, to walk the world on my own. But I have some less fear, not believe what I hear. A good getaway. In the park, it would come from the heart, sweaty hands and an old guitar. Why don't you come around here anymore? Don't you love me anymore? Don't you feel me at all? Why did you go and you leave me all alone? Don't you love me anymore? Do I feel you at all?
Yeah, let's move on. This song lights me up a little, and it's hard today to find the right words. I feel like not really myself, also maybe for not working the way I normally work, at least on those business hours. Well, there's nothing really to do and we're low on the budget, but still I don't want to take vacation, obviously, because that is the ideal place to be and to work, as I explained earlier, and it has to be this way, centered inside the working class. And now, this last week, because of writing so many poems about you, Lilia, and then also about Soriana, bringing her into this. Well, this then made me think of a new idea, a new project, Lili and Zori. And this is kind of a novel I have in mind that I started to, well, to lay the foundations, to write the first draft, like a draft of the plot. And of course it feels like now this novel is my capital. With it I could take off, I could become a famous writer and even have my own yacht, like, yeah, would be like one of those Russian oligarchs. But this is then the trap, because there you get sluggish, you don't have real work, not forced to do anything, and that's not so good. So this is my whole point, that you girls, I don't want to go away from this workplace, and I hope you will stay also, and someday we can get past this blockade. And yeah, Zori and Lily and Zori, this work then. Know that at times it feels like Hassleep, it feels like in love it's also about hate, and it's about mixing together those two feelings. And this then I felt against you, Lilia, especially yesterday, because there I wanted to push this away. And I don't know, but thinking about whether I'd gone too far this podcast, but then again, seeing you and thinking that, yeah, somehow you also like this, or you even expect this from me, and you want to really push me further and further to the abyss. And maybe I also can push you and push your buttons with these erotic texts. And yeah, we'll get to that next time with the vulva theory. This time, just gotta wrap this up and explain about Zori and Lily, that this could be my capital. And then I feel this hate, love, Hassliebe, which is one word in German. And I feel like, yeah, maybe I should love someone else, fall in love with someone else, or quit this job, go traveling again, like I like to do, or become rich and famous, right, like through my novels. And this, I think, then I wouldn't even need you, Lydia, right? Because if you're rich, then you have everything. I mean, it's like, I already mentioned this in a TSY episode, that this having sex can be replaced. At least this is what Stefan in the Aufwachen podcast always told, that you have to have friends or money. One of them can substitute the other. And if you have many friends, then maybe it's okay to be poor and not have much money. But if you don't have friends, then at least you need money. Then you feel comfortable and feel independent from the society and don't even need friends. And maybe not even lovers. And so... So yeah, I think this, but of course I don't really mean it, and only want to see how far it can go, and that Lori and Lily are my capital. And this was then a thought I had, that yeah, somehow you girls, maybe you were thinking about real vulgar sex with me, maybe, but I also have this desire, but as a man, somehow I feel the urge to give more and produce more and more that is imaginable and thinkable today, and therefore sex, this couldn't be enough, sorry girls, but this could do any man, and anyone could give this to. So I feel like when I see you and this immaculate beings that you are, then I need to come up with something wholly new and unseen before. And sex, well, this has been seen, and therefore I need to come up with this literature stuff, literature, masturbation even, or this Zori and Lily. And yeah, but then again, I mean, it's all summed up in this diary entry that I read, that on one hand, yeah, you need to work, but on the other hand, it's maybe better to only get the recognition by your lover or friends, but not by the whole of society, or at least not in today's capitalist society, because they're capital rules, and I mean, yeah, capital is gonna reward you. But to what does this lead? This life as a Russian oligarch is also not so pleasant, like on your yacht, and you can, of course, also attract a lot of women with your money, but this is not the real life, I feel, and Lilia, I only want you to forgive me for all the imperfectness in me, my body also, that of course I could shave anything if you feel necessary, but I fear that either way, I don't know, my body is if it's so adequate for you. And then yeah, and this, but I also want to feel to be like this, at the mercy of your lover, and not being that superior, like as an oligarch. But lamentably, in a way, I am already an oligarch. I mean, this is my capital, at least the podcast, and maybe you girls then feel like I'm so mighty. Ah, I'm only talking to you girls, right? I should also talk some German to make this an official Tischlein deck to hear. Yeah, ja, liebe Hörer, ihr seid ja auch noch da. Well, I think I've explained it here to length, and this gotta sum it up for today. But yeah, I'm afraid we can't go back to German, because I want to read Eva Illus. I promised you this. I made an announcement, and therefore I want to be loyal to it. And I bought this book in the exact minutes before starting the recording. I bought this as a Kindle book on Amazon, because I think it's great to read this in English so you understand really, you girls, because now we're talking about masculinity, and of course it's always important to try to sich hineinversetzen, to try to move your standpoint and try to transfer your mental standpoint to the other opposite side, maybe to another gender, to shift, transpose. And now we're talking about this here in Eva Illus' Why Love Hurts. This is chapter 3, commitment phobia. Ah, this is it. Bindungsangst, commitment phobia, and the new architecture of romantic choice. This I find a great feature of her book, that she uses this term architecture for love, that somehow love relationships have to do with an architecture of our internal preferences and things, and it has to be built and constructed, like in socialism. You also have to make a plan, 5-year plan, and not like in capitalism, of course, it's all regulated by the free market, but this regulation then is very hurtful to the planet and to all of humankind. But okay, now somehow there has to be an architecture, something has to be planned and constructed. Now we're in the subchapter Masculinity and the Demise of Commitment. Demise is Niedergang, the fall, like the fall of the Soviet Union, the demise. Now let's read here. There are 3 possible reasons that could be proffered for sexuality being so closely associated with male status. This is important that she talks here about. Why is it? Yeah, somehow nowadays it's sexuality is a part of the male status, and somehow it seems to be more important for men. Maybe therefore, yeah, what I was saying, that the physical act could be more important for women and felt stronger. But in the social arena, in the social play, of course only males are talking about it or talking more, and it's connected to the status. And maybe, yeah, it's connected to the feeling of value for yourself that you might have, and yeah, status. So somehow that's a really really deep connection there. Let's keep on reading. to the extent that sexuality was associated with the socio-economic status of powerful men, it retained its association with power and status, even when the connection was less strong. Serial sexuality is attractive to men of all classes, because if access to women is restricted, it functions as a sign of the man's status, of victory over other men. Which, yeah, some of this feels very hurtful to read about this whole competition, but let's read. Male competitiveness, validation, and status were channeled through the realm of sexuality. For men, sexuality was a mark of status in terms of the capacity to compete with other men in securing the attention of the female sex. Women provide heterosexual men with sexual validation, and men compete with each other for this. Furthermore, men transferred to sex and sexuality the control they had formerly held in the household. So, here she's talking already about this transformation in the 20th century, that there slowly the gender roles change. Cheerfully they somehow changed, and men didn't have this control over the household, or the whole sphere of masculinity then changed, and therefore it shifted all to the field of sexuality. There you define how you are a man. And this word was also mentioned in my text from last time, that nothing counts, and this feels also like a relief for me, thinking about what is it that a man really has to do. You have to know about how to repair your bike, or at least that's what my father showed me, and I don't like this mechanic thing so much. I have to know how to change a tire of your car. But there in my text it was stated clearly, no, nothing counts than sex, having sex and doing this. Yeah, this is the key part of manliness. And somehow in this text Eva Illus says the same thing, but with different words. Well, and provided with sexual validation. But again, I'm also a little critical of this whole part, and also it has to be seen that she's only describing the situation as is, but not taking into account what I propose here all the time, that it could be changed and that women should live up to maybe also compete for men, and that this all could be turned around, but we shouldn't see it as that static that is forever engraved and set in stone. This is simply wrong and also hurtful then to write about this. This is my critique of her, of course. If you just describe this like, oh yeah, this is the fact, then people are going to be depressed and lethargic and may feel like there's really nothing to do. So yeah, we know sex and love is a really hurtful topic, but apparently it's really like this and we're really lost, and this is the problem with this book. But still, it's great, it's a great book. I mean, and you gotta continue reading here. Furthermore, men transferred to sex and sexuality the control they had formerly held in the household, and sexuality became the realm within which they could express and display their authority and their autonomy. Authority and autonomy. Autonomy is like that you're deciding for yourself, being really the center of your own will. And authority, of course, being that great authoritarian figure. Like, maybe I am for you girls, but please just don't think about don't think like this about me, because you know, because I tell you here how also you are so authoritarian to me when I see you, that this is a landmark. I can't even get past it. I can't know what to do, how to. Detachment in sexuality came to signal and organize the broader trope of autonomy and control, and thus of masculinity. Emotional detachment could be viewed as a metaphor for masculine autonomy, which the separation between sex and marriage had encouraged. Finally, through sex, men both competed with and forged bonds with other men by casting women's bodies as the object of male solidarity. And well, this whole part, I don't like this formulation. Why is it about female bodies? It's about this love experience that's also of spiritual experience, but somehow I read also a deep resentment and a accusation against men in these lines, but I can't point the finger to it. It's hard to say, just that I'm not so comfortable with the whole thing that is expressed here is highly valuable and enlightening also, but with the way it's expressed, I feel it's pointing at something else, and I don't really get to it. But maybe we can move on a little. Just this word is so great. Hypertrophied means it's too big, it's growing too large and out of control. This word we're gonna read, this is to describe male sexuality, because now it's also about competing, it's about status, and it has too many functions. It's also about biology, but this is only one part of it. And this is the whole problem, that this male desire sexuality grew too large and too abundant. And yet, forge bonds with other men. In other words, sexual freedom made sexuality a site for the exercise and display of masculinity for men whose status in the three arenas of work, home, and male sociability had been eroded. It transformed sexuality into status. If sex for men was a way to display their status and to bond with other men, the demise of men's control over the household and of their autonomy in the workplace resulted in a sexuality that was hypertrophied. In that it merged and expressed at once the three aspects of masculinity as status, authority, autonomy, and solidarity. Okay, so these are the three terms associated with masculinity. So, solidarity means this fraternization. Already mentioned in German once, you talk to other men, you forge a bond through this realm of sex, and then authority and autonomy. But yeah, somehow this made a lot of sense to me. Yeah, somehow hypertrophied the male sexuality to a point where you can see clearly here my standpoint, my experience here in the podcast, that you don't even, well, that this biology, the real physical world, feels very far away and very hard to get there, and it's somehow enough to live in this bubble where I have at least a solidarity. Yeah, other men could be listening, it could be feeling, oh yeah, it's great that he's describing this love experience, some of the feelings also had, also for girls of course, but yeah, always this different position. And yeah. But I think we can leave it at that. And what I mean to express is one more note I took here concerning this, what I read. This fraternization, fraternité, which comes from the French. This is the solidarity. Forge a bond and competition for men is not that bad per se, because somehow we tend to like to play, let out our energies, our forces, also because somehow it's our natural role, and then women could see us and love us for it. But I mean, it's our traditional role that doesn't have to be this way forever, and should be. It's high time to be changed. And somehow competition is something natural, something joyful also for us, and it's somehow fair if there's no such huge difference in capital. Like I said about the capitalism from 200 years ago, it was fair, and there were not these big monopolies that then gained their exclusive power over the state and the politic arena, and are causing all these imperialist wars and sending the proletarians to the front lines to be killed there. But back then it was more of a fair competition. There were smaller enterprises, handwerk, manufacturers, and the same occurs in sexuality, that there you feel at least, well, someone could be a lot more attractive than someone else, but I mean, it's not, we all share the same, at least the same starting capital. Our bodies and all the body parts are more or less the same, although each one is singular, of course. And it's somehow a fair game, at least there, and somehow it's nice to this solidarity to connect also. And I don't know, we should write and think about female sexuality. What is then about this authority, autonomy and solidarity? And I think it's all a huge mess and a problem, that female sexuality is then only a function, a derivation of the male standpoint. And it's not so good what we, well, the process described in the 20th century, it wasn't partly an emancipation, but it had to do with the needs of capital, that they also needed more workers at the factories. And it didn't come out of the society itself. I mean, like in the socialist states, there was this clear rule and guideline from the government that women's position must be fostered. And this is what I have to say. Somehow it's not enough to have this liberal feminism and let loose all the old moral, religious prejudices, but somehow society and individual psychology is nothing that could change so easily and by its own will, and therefore these problems of inequality and differences in power and status of men and women will drag on and cannot be resolved inside this liberalism. And this female desire is only a derivation from the male today's, at least what it looks like from my standpoint, and therefore also it needs to be discovered, unwrapped, or constructed. Like this architecture needs to be planned and constructed, and this is what I also try to do with my vulva theory. We can get to that next time. Okay, I mean, I have to talk German at some point. I can read a German poem, I think. why even read a poem? I mean, ja, liebe Leute, jetzt kommt, schalten wir doch nochmal um auf Deutsch. Ich meine, ich bin heute nicht zufrieden mit meinem Schwung und meinem Duktus, aber warum? Ich weiß nicht, ich habe mich unter Druck gesetzt gefühlt. Ich bin nicht in meiner Sinne und bin einfach, ja. Ich meine, es ist auch so, ja. Man denkt sich doch, ja, diese Frauen oder diese Hörer generell, was erwarten die von mir? Die wollen doch auch, dass sie dann abends oder bald irgendwann eine neue Folge zum Hören haben. Und ja, was soll ich? Also ich kann mich dort diesem Anspruch doch nicht entziehen. Ne? Also, das wär nicht denkbar. Und ich muss mich aber mehr in den Griff bekommen. Ja, es muss wirklich... ja wirklich Herr meiner selbst sein und wirklich sagen, ich podcaste, ich entziehe mich auch, ich verstehe auch zu provozieren und dadurch unter Druck zu setzen, dass ich eben nicht podcaste. Genau, lasst uns hier doch mal ein Gedichtchen lesen, das, ja, das habe ich so vor 2 Wochen verfasst. Ah ja, das ist recht kurz und kann hier einen guten Ausstieg liefern, uns gut rausgleiten lassen wieder aus der Folge. Und ich muss wirklich rauskommen, denn es ist Donnerstag, femininer Donnerstag wiederum, weil, das ist auch Yoga, da wollte ich eigentlich hin, da ist immer schön mit diesen ganzen Frauen, meine ich auch, und ja, andererseits setzt einen auch unter Druck, also ich kann es nicht anders beschreiben, ich meine, wer fühlt das denn nicht, und vor allem diese anderen Männer, die da sind, habe ich auch das Gefühl, die kommen immer nur so sporadisch, also ja, ich bin schon so, dass ich hartnäckig bin und ab und zu, oder zumindest phasenweise dann wirklich jede Woche hingehe, aber dann sind da so andere Männer und die kommen manchmal vorbei und da denke ich mir, ja, dann auch nächstes Mal sind die einfach nicht mehr. Dann denke ich mir auch, ja, Junge, du hast einfach kein Durchhaltevermögen. Und ich verstehe es auch, ich mache es dir nicht zum Vorwurf, weil es ist einfach schwierig mit diesen Frauenkörpern. Und ja, gut, da sind es wirklich die Körper. Konfrontiert zu sein und ja, einfach dem ausgesetzt, ausgeliefert zu sein und gar nicht woanders hingucken zu können. Also zumindest ja, wenn man in einer gewissen Stellung liegt oder gedreht da steht, dann. Was kann man da noch tun? Und der Blick leitet dann dorthin auf diese Linien und die geschwungene Linie eben der Hüften und Taillen und Arme. Und da ist eben so ein Blitz der Seligkeit und Glücklichkeit. Und man weiß, es braucht eigentlich gar nicht mehr. Und aber es fühlt sich alles so schlimm an in dieser bürgerlichen Gesellschaft. Genau, und da diese Hypertrophie verschwimmt alles, der soziale Status kommt rein, das ist das Toxische, nämlich dann, dass man dann fühlt, aber diese Biologie, Moment mal, das ist das unterliegende Material, ja, aber der Zugang dahin ist ja irgendwie reguliert und durch die Sprache, durch die vertragten Gesetze der Gesellschaft geregelt. Ich weiß wirklich gar nicht, wie man da hinkommt oder was für Züge man da zu spielen hat, wenn man da fühlt, man würde sich da gerne verspielen oder verstricken oder jedenfalls zusammen da spielen mit so einer Yoga-Partnerin. Und es ist jetzt aber Zeit, ja, ich glaube, ich muss bald los, wir müssen hier zum Ende kommen. Also dieses Gedicht hier noch und dann ja, war es das hier. Und hier kommt diese Sache zum Ausdruck, es ist nichts Individuelles. Ne? In der Liebe geht es irgendwie um die Individualität, aber in diesem erotischen Blitzen und Flackern, diesem Aufflackern, da geht es um das generelle Menschliche, das Allgemeine. Und das ist auch so schön und so erleichternd, dass man da seine Individualität verlieren kann. Und deshalb das mit der bürgerlichen Gesellschaft, der Status, das ist auch so völlig fremd eigentlich. Das gehört da eigentlich gar nicht hin. Und es ist jetzt halt so raufgeflanscht in diesem historischen Kontext. Aber es ist eigentlich nicht das Richtige. Und ja, eigentlich müssten wir hier generalistisch und sozialistisch vorgehen. Aber ja, jetzt dieses Gedicht einfach, ja, ist ein kleines Gedicht. Es ist doch leichter, nur zu sehen und zu sehnen, sich geistig hinüberzubeugen und zu transformieren, sich nach dir, geliebte Kellnerin, zu sehnen, aber dich sprechen, dich gar verführen, also da fehlt mir der Mumm. Warum? Ganz schlicht und bündig. Ich bin eisig, kein echter Mann. Da müsste ich ja noch drüber nachdenken, dich zu berühren. Und was machte das mit mir? Jedenfalls was Warmes, nichts Eisiges. Da senke ich ein ins Erdreich. O Frau, deine femininen Formen, oder welche auch immer es sein mögen, androgyne oder schlagsige, breite oder geduckte, jedenfalls sehne ich mich nach der Union mit dir, der Wärme deiner Haut, die mich einsinken lässt ins Erdreich, Richtung Erdkern, zu diesem vulgären Kern der Erde, der Speicher der Nährstoffe, die Quelle der Lüste, die unversiegbare Kornkammer des Aneinanderwachsens. Ist man zu zweit, kann man immer weiter wachsen. Da ist nichts mehr offen, keine individuelle Frage. Ja, dieses Gedicht, ich weiß gar nicht, ich habe es wahrscheinlich geschrieben in der Mittagspause, als ich im Café war und eine Kellnerin gesehen habe, aber ist gar nicht so wichtig, nur das für mich hat schon sowas irgendwie Beruhigendes, auch Schläfriges vielleicht. Es kommt diese Mittagsschwere darin hervor. Und aber mit diesen Betrachtungen möchte ich mich dann entziehen und wieder ins Private einfach verabschieden. Das Private, da wo es hinabgeht, in dieses Erdreich, die Wärme. Als Privatier, als Bourgeois ist man da darauf angewiesen, das eigene Wohl zu verfolgen und insofern auch böse zu werden, wie Marlon Grund schreibt. Es geht ja gar nicht anders, als dass man böse wird, wenn man handelt im Äußeren, in der Wirklichkeit. Besser ist es, also man gesteht es sich gleich ein, dass man, egal was man macht, aber man wird jedenfalls ein Stück weit böse dadurch, als dass man moralisch sauber bleibt und so ist es also auch in der Liebe. Das hat alles was Schmutziges und es geht um die Besudelung, wie es bei Bataille heißt. Und man besudelt sich damit, ja. Man besudelt sich damit, ja, durch den Akt. Egal, ob jetzt hier der Sprechakt oder der materielle Akt. Aber man besudelt sich einfach. Man lehnt sich aus sich heraus, verstrickt sich, öffnet sich. Da ist eine Wunde, da schlägt dem anderen eine Wunde. Und ja, so ist es. Es ist also was Böses, genuin Böses. Und So ist es aber. Wir sind alle individuelle Personen irgendwie in dieser Gesellschaft. Ja gut, das geht ja auch gar nicht anders. Auch im Sozialismus ist es ja weiterhin so, dass jeder irgendwie erstmal für sich ein Lebewesen allein aus biologischen Gründen irgendwie ist. Und da aber finden wir dieses Fleischliche. Und das ja, ist ja auch was Erleichterndes und schafft viele Lüste, so wie beim Yoga. Ich schon mal erwähnte, glaube ich, dass wenn man sich da so intensiv dehnt, also es ist besser als Sex, manchmal jedenfalls so ein spezieller Muskel, wo man fühlt, wow, der wurde jetzt wirklich schon ein paar Wochen vernachlässigt und dann ist es einfach so, ey, wow, das ist jetzt, das ist atemberaubend, ich will nie, dass das nie wieder aufhört, durch diese Streckung oder Dehnung. Und damit sage ich euch ciao und auf Wiederhören.